And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, drop the anchor and crank the volume all the way up because you are officially tapped into RBLR Bucks, the heartbeat of Tampa Bay football talk. To everybody riding with us, whether you're in the car, in the gym, at work, pretending to be busy, or just kicking back, we're fired that we're fired up that you chose to spend your time with us today. Tampa Bay family, this isn't just a podcast, it's a crew, this is a culture, this is where Bucks fans come to feel the energy all off season long. So as you know, it's March 25th as we record this episode, and I guess we're maybe in that weird grindy part of the off season. No games, no Sundays, no Raymond James rocking, so it's one of the slowest stretches of the football calendar. But the good news, it only gets better from here. In about a month or so, the NFL draft is coming, and you already know that's when the hope gets reloaded, rosters get reshaped, and the future of this Buccaneers squad starts to take form. And until then, we still got plenty to talk about, moves around the league, whispers, roster breakdowns, everything else happening inside this Buccaneers organization. So look, before we dive in, if you're rocking with us, do us a quick favor, like and subscribe, however you're listening to this. It literally takes a few seconds and it helps to keep you bring this energy every single episode. So while you're doing that, I want to give a shout out to the rest of the RBLR family, holding it down across the Tampa Bay, covering the Rays, Lightning, Rowdies, Sun, and now even our beloved USF Bulls. So no matter the sport, no matter the season, they stay grinding, keeping you locked in with everything Tampa Bay sports. And hey, don't listen, but also talk to us. Drop a comment. Tell us what you're thinking. However you're listening to this, YouTube, Instagram Live or on X, tell us what you're feeling. It's the offseason, which means now more than ever, folks, we want to hear from you. Hot takes, questions, opinions, bring it all. Please, this is your space too. But that being said, look, I want to bring in my guy. This is never a one-man show. The man who reads defenses like a QB at the line. He breaks down plays like a seasoned coordinator and always brings that real, unfiltered football energy. Joining me, my co-host, Mr. Zach Blaine. How are you tonight, man?
Man, I am worn out. We started baseball season for the boys this week, and we've been going crazy with it. So, excited to be here and talk some football, though, man.
You scared me, man. I thought you were going to say this offseason's got you worn out. But then again, it has me a little
every
bit.
Every Tampa offseason makes me.
Yeah, there's always the influx of articles for every team that just pop up out of nowhere. So it's, as I say, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the season of the interns. But enough about them. It's time to talk about things that genuinely matter. Okay, like first of all, the big thing was, we signed Christian Roseboom. That was a one-year, signing. I just wanted to kind of pick your head with that. What are your thoughts on that, Zach?
I feel like that wasn't the big thing that happened this week.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to start off with kind of, I guess, maybe the big signing or hell, the only signing. So
yeah, it's I don't know how to feel about it. Like it's nothing if I'm. Respectfully to him, he's a tackle merchant, which is cool. Like he'll go get tackles, but that's really all he does. Like he's essentially Servassier, a little bit older with more upside on special teams. So it's kind of if Tampa is banking on him playing meaningful football this year, then we're gonna have deeper issues.
I mean, my first thoughts were, it's depth, and I think it's more of a special team situation. The comparison to Servassier Dennis is
ranked.
It's there, and because I know we were talking about it in the group, and the PFF, I think, actually has, I think, Roseboom technically worse than Servassier Dennis.
Yeah.
Just a little bit below, but
marginally worse. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think I saw like a fun fact. I think he picked off Baker actually the last time they played each other. But yeah, as you said, Zach, he is a tackling merchant. He had 122 total tackles last year. So he's actually one of the only five NFL linebackers in 2025 to record 120-plus tackles, two sacks, and an interception per CBS Sports. So I was going to ask you, it doesn't seem like it's a steal to you, does it, Zach?
No. This is just a depth signing.
Okay.
Special teams type deal. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
We could have gone a plethora of different ways here and made a bigger impact, but I think he'll be good on special teams, and I think he'll be good in a pinch if we need him to play run the defense. But if we're putting him in coverage, we're going to have some issues.
Yeah. No. I'm right there with you. I think this was more just to kind of call out the fact that you can't just look at the stats like that and be like, OMG, we just hit a home run, you know, because then anyone who really knows Christian Roseboom knows that this is not something to be going all buck wild for. I mean, nothing to be, you know, negative about. But, yeah, hey, look, it's better than nothing. I think we can agree on that. So, yeah, that's probably the only thing I had to say as well. But, folks, I do want to apologize with, you know, my words with the big news. That was not the big news. I should have maybe rephrased it. Wanted to go a little bit in order. Now, fresh off the press. Now, this is big. Of course, I think you already know what's coming. Levante David has retired after 14 seasons. Absolute Buccaneers legend. I kind of wanted to start off saying, I mean, him and Mike were, you know, my two guys, you know, that, you know, really made me fall in love with this team, you know, since the, you know, from the start of me truly being a Buccaneers fan. And, you know, just quickly, I wanted to kind of go over, because I had to remind myself, you know, how legendary of a career this guy had. Because, yeah, the way, you know, his last season wasn't like, oh, wow, what a way to just, you know, go out. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't one of those kind of seasons. But he, you know, by all means deserves, you know, the most respect. You know, one-time Super Bowl champ, three-time All-Pro, seventh all-time in combined tackles, fourth all-time in tackles for loss, fourth all-time in solo tackles. So, you know, obviously I think the first question for me, you know, I wanted to ask you, Zach, is, you know, is he first ballot Hall of Fame level? Because I think him and Derek Brooks literally ended with the exact same number of tackles from what I saw. I couldn't believe my eyes. I think it was, I was like, wow, is this fate or something? But talk to me, Zach. How do you feel about this?
It's a weird feeling because you're right. Like, that Levante David is my, I don't want to say childhood because he was drafted in 12 and I graduated in 13. So, like, he wasn't my childhood, but, like, he's been on the Bucs as long as I can remember, like, fully paying attention to football. And it's going to be weird to see him not on the field. Without a doubt in my mind, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. And granted, is that going to happen? No, he will not be a first ballot Hall of Famer because he never got the attention that other linebackers have. But if you put him on, I saw a stat thing. It was him, Bobby Wagner, and Luke Kuechly. I am not going to compare him to Luke Kuechly because Luke Kuechly was just a freak. Like, his career was short and his numbers were relatively close to Levante David and Bobby Wagner still. I think to say that he shouldn't be a first ballot Hall of Famer is insane, but he played in Tampa. He never was recognized as one of the best linebackers in football. But he was.
No, most definitely. I mean, I think this was, yeah, this was a big, big retirement, you know, kind of news, I think all around the league, but yeah, I mean, especially for the Buccaneers, it just, yeah. You know, I feel like, you know, this day was bound to come. I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, last year we were talking about, you know, if Levante runs it back or something. That was in the air even last year or something. But, yeah, look, I mean,
say that last again? Year was the first year that they were like, hey, if he wants to come back, he can. And it was the first year that I remember, like, waiting to hear on Levante David. Now, I think him retiring when he did is for the best. And that's not hating on him. His last season was not great. And I think I didn't want him to pull a Brett Favre situation where, like, you go until the brakes fall off, and then I think that tarnishes your legacy. And this season was not bad enough to tarnish any legacy for Levante, which is perfect. Like, this is how you should go out. Go out on top. While you may not have had your best season, it wasn't a bad, bad season. So, like, I think he played it right. I think this was the right call.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, because I wasn't thinking about it before now, but you mentioned it, Zach, which is perhaps we're just not in that kind of, you know, mode anymore where, you know, OG veterans are like, you know, willing to, you know, give it one more year. And it doesn't help that, you know, Mike Evans also departed now. So I just feel like the vibes are not kind of like, you know, the boys are back. And let's also talk about the fact, because I'd seen this from Buccaneers post as well, which was, this is not the same Buccaneers team that, like, you know, I think I had to give myself a refresher. The only remaining rostered players from that Super Bowl championship team are just Godwin, Wirfs, Antoine Winfield, Vita Vea, and then Anthony Nelson. So, this team has changed a lot. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, it's been 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, so
we can't expect it to stay the same, especially when that team was – it's going to sound like I'm dogging on the Super Bowl, and I'm not, because it was the perfect way to do it. We bought that Super Bowl. Like, we brought in veteran players.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you win Super Bowls. You're not going to win Super Bowls with four starting rookies. Like, you know what I mean? So when you play a Super Bowl that way, you're going to have turnover. And it's just, we're at the point now where we're losing, like, our guys are aging out that we've watched their whole career essentially. And it just kind of sucks, but you know, everything's got to come to an end at some point. Why not do it when the getting is good, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like I've said this before, and, you know, my friends have, you know, mentioned this to me, you know, being that they've been watching Bucks for a very long time, as well as we've been spoiled, you know, Buccaneers fans, this organization, for the most part, hasn't been good, mediocre at best. And, you know, I think it's time for, you know, those Buccaneers fans who are still riding off that 2020 championship high to let it go and realize that, you know, we are exactly, you know, where we belong, which is the NFC South, which is the division consisting of just the weirdest teams, the most roller coaster teams anyways. So, you know, we should always be positive, but yeah, right now we're not in that kind of phase where we should be kind of, you know, walking with our heads high. I don't want to sound too negative either, but it's like, dude, look, Levante David is slowing down. There's no need to, you know, give it one more push because we're not Super Bowl contenders. We've had this discussion before, you know, you, me, and Carter, we're at least a couple of years away from being true Super Bowl contenders. So let's clean out what we can and go from there.
It's just weird because the front office is sending so many mixed signals. Like, we're looking at it right now, we are not a Super Bowl team. We could have been had we signed free agents, but we didn't sign free agents. We brought in Alex Anzalone, great pickup. That's the only great pickup we had this offseason. Like, him and Gainwell, if you want to put Gainwell in there, I don't think he's as impactful as, like, we could have gotten, but we got him. Like, it is what it is. But then I'm hearing rumors that we're trying to work on a contract extension for Baker. I'm all for it. I love Baker. I want him to be our starting quarterback of the future. But if you're going into a rebuild, which Tampa will never admit to going into a rebuild, but if you have faith in Baker as your quarterback, you're going to sign him to an extension, why are we not giving him what he needs to succeed? Like, you got to make up your mind. You can't be a team that won't spend money and won't trade, but will pay your quarterback to just be your quarterback. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, you're saying, you know, more on the offensive side, you know, you're talking about needing more wide receiver weapons.
Well, no, I'm not even saying necessarily on the offensive side. I'm just saying
Okay.
if you're gonna sign
Oh, you mean for
a
his team? I mean, yeah,
guy,
this is,
team in
yeah,
general.
this is Baker's team. Yeah, I didn't want to ask you, you know, kind of piggybacking off of the whole Levante David, you know, leaving. My kind of, you know, my last question with that, which is, and you know, we can kind of discuss now Baker because he's kind of my guy, which is, you know, how do you replace that kind of quiet leadership in a locker room full of young guys? And now that I'm thinking, this is Baker's team now more than ever. You know, I
Yeah,
mean,
I mean, it's
maybe on the defensive
Baker and
side, you know,
Godwin.
you give it to Antoine and Vita, but this is Baker's ship now more than ever.
You don't give it to Antoine. Antoine, in my
Right.
opinion, has not earned it. The only person that has earned it on that defense is Vita. There is no other player on the defense I go, he should be a leader of that team. It is Vita Vea, unquestionably for me. And then, yeah, I think it's Baker's team on the offensive side. There's him or Godwin, but honestly, Godwin is, I don't. As weird as it sounds, I don't necessarily see Godwin as like that leader, and it's not a dig on him. He's just almost too quiet and reserved, it seems like.
Not everyone, not everyone has that quality. So, yeah, I'd probably say, yeah, it's got to be Baker, you know, leading this, you know, group of young men now. And I'm kind of curious to see, you know, yeah, with the offensive weapons we have, you know, what we do, especially in that wide receiver room, because it's like, other than, you know, Godwin, it's a very young wide receiver room. But I did want to kind of talk about, you know, what's left to fill, you know, based on what we know. So you already mentioned Alec Anzalone and, you know, and Gainwell, but me and Carter talked about Al-Quadeen Muhammad also joining the Buccaneers. Wanted to ask you know, would he be able to replicate last year's, you know, elite production, or was that more just because of the Hutchinson factor? And then thoughts on the value, 5 mil.
I mean, the value is the value. Like, it's you're paying an edge rusher. If he can replicate it, it's a great deal. When your running mate is now Yaya Diaby, Kalijah Kansi, and Vita Vea, you're probably not replicating those numbers. Again, not a dig on him, but he's never been a great player outside of the one season with Aiden Hutchinson. And I think that goes to show more to Aiden Hutchinson and not him. I think he's had at least one. I know he's had at least one suspension for PEDs. Like, I don't know. I don't get the signing when there was other players out there that I think are better and more established players.
Yeah. Who are some, I mean, who are available, you know, at that time? I mean, I know it's been about a week and a half or so
Yeah, I mean,
now.
you still got Bosa's still available. I'm trying to think who else is available at that
So I
time.
know that was mentioned, like Khalil Mack, Jonathan Allen, Dre
Well,
Greenlaw.
Khalil Mack was gone already. He
Okay.
before free agency even started, he agreed to sign back with the Chargers. But even right now, I mean, you've got Joey Bosa, Cam Jordan's old. I wouldn't put him up there. But he's more established and productive than Muhammad. Jadeveon Clowney. Yeah, I mean, there's those are like the three for me. Jadeveon Clowney, Cam Jordan. I don't want Cam Jordan on this team ever. I hate that guy. Not really personally, but football-wise, I hate him. And then Bosa, I think, are all better players than Muhammad. And they're still free agents.
I too wonder, you know, I feel like we're just leaning towards the draft. But you know, I as we've mentioned, this is just the kind of thing is, you know, are we finally gonna hit it on the nail with getting, you know, a nasty, you know, edge rusher? Because as of right now, we don't have any guy who can produce 10 plus sacks. I think the last time we had that was what, Shaq Barrett back in that Super Bowl year, the year after, something like that. So yeah, that's been missing for a while. It hasn't been hitting. And I mean, on top of that, there are other holes to fill on this defense. It doesn't help that Levante David's gone now as well.
Yeah, and I mean, you look, you're talking about going to the draft. Jason Light has never drafted a multiple sack or a double-digit sack.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, I think. Well, I have to ask you. Do you think we're going to end up drafting an edge rusher? So the thing is, it just
we're going to reach at 15, or we'll trade back, and we'll trade back and pick up someone who will amount to absolutely nothing as a pass rusher. He'll be a situational pass rusher at best, and that's just how it's going to go. It happens every single year. We have high hopes for some. Where did David Walker play?
Yeah, Central Arkansas. Yeah, he'll be back as well. Maybe there's some hope for him. Maybe that's why.
Arkansas pass rushers, studs. I just struggle with it, man. It's hard to.
I also, wish. I'm wondering, like Chris Braswell, I felt like I've been wanting to see more.
We saw enough of him. Nothing.
Yeah, so unfortunately, that was the one I was excited about. You know, I was like, okay, this, you know, I mean, I saw the tape.
Yeah, came from Alabama Bama, edge rusher, going to be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I've come to the point where anytime Tampa drafts an edge rusher, I fully expect him to blow.
Yeah. I got to say, obviously, it's impossible because you'd be an idiot to let him fall that deep, but – in the event the world falls and David Bailey falls to 15, I gotta say David Bailey is probably the only one I'd be like, nah, man.
No, there are two edge guys that if they were to fall or Tampa traded up, I'd be happy with.
Yeah,
Reuben Bain and David Bailey.
Yeah. Oh, and Bain too. Yep.
Those are the only two that within reason for Tampa to either trade up for and not have to go to top three and our actual first round talents.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I know, man. Everyone's mocking. A lot of people I've seen a lot of people mock Akeem Mesidor. He was kind of irrelevant until playing next to Reuben Bain. And he had this year was his breakout year. You can't tell me that's not a huge part because of Reuben Bain.
Perhaps. I think maybe Akeem Mesidor is the Al-Qadim Muhammad of the Miami Hurricanes. Maybe that's what it
100%. That's how I look at it. Like, I think Bain is such a threat that you kind
of – It happens, dude. When there's two weapons and, you know, one's – amazing, the other one's okay, decent. Yeah, that one, you know, it's gonna have to be used a couple times, so, and it's gonna hit a couple times, so I think we can agree on that. But I did want to, you know, kind of talk about also a little bit with, you know, this edge rush room or just on defense, you know, just some kind of talk that I was, you know, seeing going around the football world related to the Buccaneers. Logan Hall, as you know, is now on the Texans, and he was interviewed regarding, you know, playing for D'Amico Ryan, and he had said, you know, you're not going to get stuck into this monotony, Hall said. I'm really grateful coming from the scheme I was in. Similarly, you get to do a lot of things that you might not be allowed to do on other teams, the blitzes and the stunts, just to be dialed in that way is really rewarding and really fun to play for. So I don't know, maybe I've seen some people kind of, you know, think about the use of the word monotony a little bit. You know, so I just wanted to ask, you know, what are your kind of thoughts on a statement like that? Is it Logan Hall's fault? Do you think maybe, you know, perhaps he just needed to change a scene? Is it really this Todd Bowles defense that needs to be, you know, investigated? Or
I have been a very, very outspoken on how much I do not think Todd Bowles is a good defensive coordinator. I have openly stated that countless amounts of time. Do I think Logan Hall is a good edge rusher? I think he's good in situations, which is what Tampa drafts, situational edge guys. Like, I think playing next to Anderson is going to help, and – oh, God, who's their other edge guy? Why am I blanking?
Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter, yeah. Playing next to them is going to make him look like a stud because,
right?
You can't walk three people.
Well, I think that was the thing that I was reading. I was like, he felt like he was being more like a defensive tackle on this team, and he wants, I think, get a little bit more of that outside action. So I think that's what was the kind of issue. I don't think he wanted to, you know, bluntly say that, but. Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of just putting on your coaching lens. I know you don't like Todd Bowles, but maybe I just haven't really, took it in. But, you know, what are your thoughts on, you know, Todd Bowles as a defensive coordinator when it comes to our pass rush? You know, what is going on with this?
I think that he fails to the biggest problem I've always had with him is that he fails to, I don't want to say game plan, but like, change course. He will run the same thing the entire game. Our corners are going to line up 8 yards off the ball, no matter what the situation is, 8 to 10 yards off the ball. And then you're going to try and get mediocre pass rush guys to the ball or to the quarterback. Well, it just doesn't work out. So, I mean, I feel like the issue with him is not necessarily lack of talent is a thing. But I think it's more so Todd Bowles' lack of what's the word I'm looking for? Lack of
creativity.
There you go. I don't want to say creativity. I think he's creative. I think that it's when he uses that creativeness. Like, I've seen him blitz linebackers and get to the quarterback, and like, I didn't even see it coming.
Maybe lack of situational awareness.
It's like he's like, it seems like he's got a damn playbook or like a game plan, and he's like, all right, so on this down we're gonna do this, but
on the
first play this, and then it's just like a list of plays, and that's what he calls no matter what the situation is, no matter what's going on. Oh, it's a third and one. We'll line up 10 yards off the ball. There's no way they're going to run a slant here. Like, it just doesn't make sense the way he calls defensive plays. I don't understand it.
Unfortunately, you know, I don't think anyone has ever been positive about this Buccaneers defense in any sort of way, you know, whether it's, you know, here on this pod or, you know, whether we've seen it from players as well. And, you know, I feel like, you know, you're kind of talking about this predictable thing, Zach, is kind of what Logan Hall perhaps is maybe saying is with the whole monotony. And, you know, I forgot who it was, but someone had mentioned that the Buccaneers did too many walkthroughs, like, after the bye week. And I remember there was one player who was like, oh, like, you know, I want to talk to Coach Bowles about this. So it's there, dude. Obviously, the vibes are just not good, you know, and everything just seems messy on that defensive side. So, yeah, there's just a lot of, you know, a lack of a lot of things. And I'll tell you this, folks, the other day, my mom had seen me and she said, you got a lack of style, Musa. You got to up your style game. So what did I do? I said, you know what, Mom, you're right. And she said, you know what, do I need, I said, no, Mom, it's okay. I went immediately on over right in front of her. I said, Mom, relax. I got this. I went on over to shop.rblrsports.com. Okay. And I looked around, I perused around, and you know, there's options, there's variety as well, you know, covering, you know, as we know, we cover all Tampa Bay. So, and we got hats, shirts, all kinds of stuff. So, and, you know, I was able to use the promo code, which I'm going to bless you with right now, because, you know, we appreciate you. That is Cannons. I used Cannons, CANNONS, for 10% off my order. Boom. I just Apple Paid that bad boy, and it should be on its way soon. So I don't know where it's, but it's somewhere in the air right now. But on the real though, check it out. We, you know, hope you get a little something, something. So now going on to our second half of this episode, gonna have a little bit more fun with it, maybe a little bit more bigger picture. Zach, you had mentioned, a little bit of that mock talk with Akeem Ezidor. And my first question is, you know, I feel like, man, I don't want to sound too harsh, but as a Buccaneers fan, you'd be an idiot not to think that we're going to go linebacker or edge in the first round. But I have seen, and I'm sure you have seen, some mocks with some other positions in the first round. So I wanted to talk about that. First of all, what are your thoughts on – is that crazy? And second of all, you know, which mocks do you like? Maybe some positions or players that maybe you've seen?
Are you asking if I think it's crazy to take a different position in the first round?
Yeah.
No, not at all. I like I said, I don't think outside of Bailey and Bain, those are the only, in my opinion, again, I'm not an expert in this situation, but I think that those are the only true, like, first round studs in this draft for edge guys. I think you're reaching for anyone else after that. Do I think other people get taken? Of course. And then linebacker, it's kind of the same situation. Sonny Gray is worlds above, in my opinion, the best linebacker in this draft. Athletically wise, I should say, because we saw that with Isaiah Simmons. It could very well be the same situation, but he's kind of a stud. CJ Allen is a big one that I've seen being mocked to Tampa. I hate that. I just don't like that to Tampa at 15.
No, I also would like to shut that down just because that kind of doesn't fill what we need, which is the coverage. We need a coverage.
Exactly. If I'm not mistaken, he's played more of an outside backer, and they're trying to kind of put him into the inside linebacker role because he's undersized. But I think if he's there in the second round, it's not a terrible pick. But, again, I think that Sonny Styles is worlds above everyone else as far as overall talent-wise. So if we're at 15, even if we trade back, I am a huge proponent of either taking a corner or a wide receiver first round if some of them fall to us. I'm not huge on wide receiver in the first round because I do think that we're okay in the wide receiver class or in the wide receiver standpoint. We're going to have to take an X style receiver or sign one, but – my favorite pick that I've been mocking to Tampa is Colton Hood out of Tennessee, corner, big physical corner, freak athlete. Like, he's just a very, very solid player, and I think would be an instant impact guy day one.
No, most definitely. Yeah, man, I like Colton Hood. I've even seen Avion Terrell as well on some mocks. I've seen some Avion Terrell tape as well. I think, you know, he balled out. Say it again.
I said, I think he's a little small for my liking. Isn't he a little bit shorter?
Oh, man, I got to check up his size up again. But, he was a dog from what I was seeing. But I guess I wanted to ask you, so he's, you don't think 5'11". It's – say it again?
He's 5'11".
Okay.
Colton Hood, 6 foot, and then Jermaine McCoy is the other one I really like. He's 6'1".
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, so I guess I wanted to ask you, so you don't think it's crazy. So you don't think it's crazy if we were to go, you know, maybe corner or,
if you ask everyone else, I think that yes, it's crazy. Like, everyone else is going to say it's crazy. Me personally, I don't think it's crazy. I think in the first round, we need someone that could start right away and make an impact. And I don't think reaching for an edge guy because you need one, or reaching for a linebacker because you need one, is the smart play there. If you trade up and take Reuben Bain, I'm all for it. Or you trade up and somehow Sonny Styles falls from the top five, you do it. Yes, like, that's the smart play. Those are the most important positions you need right now. It's not me saying that linebacker and edge are not our number one and two needs, but it's not worth reaching for somebody, especially when you have the track record that Tampa has of not being able to draft edge guys, and reaching for an edge that probably is not going to be worthy of a first round pick.
I like that, dude. No, you know what? I didn't think about it before, but yeah, the whole reaching part. Yeah, it's not always about the whole, reaching for, what you need, but finding the best available. And yeah, dude, you can't go wrong with,
Yeah,
a damn good cornerback, someone you can get there day one, lock, someone
exactly.
trustworthy. Yeah, man, that's gonna help a lot.
And it's more so because the I've said it a lot, but Bailey and Bane are the two best. And then after that, there's a solid group that I think are going to be good that will go in the second and third rounds. You got Malachi Lawrence out of UCF. You've got R. Mason Thomas out of Oklahoma. Zion Williamson or Zion Wilson, I think is his name, right? Out of Missouri. Yeah, Zion. No, I'm sorry, not William. I'm thinking basketball. The scores are coming across my phone right now. But in Cassius Howe, like those are
Cash
all
is how we are.
they're all really close together, and those guys are gonna fall into the second and third round. I mean, they might not fall to the third round like some of the ones I'm naming. Like, I don't think you see Zion or R. Mason Thomas go in the third round or Gabe Yakus. Like, I don't think we see them fall to the third. But if you trade back in the first, take Colton Hood, now you could potentially pick up an extra second round pick, and you have that ability to go out and get a linebacker and an edge guy in the second round. So I don't think it's worth reaching for them when there's that group is much closer talent-wise than reaching at 15 for a guy who could you can get at 40.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And the other one that the one that you haven't mentioned that I've seen, or I'm sure we already mentioned it before, which was Kenyon Sadik. We've seen his name before many times. One name that did kind of catch my eye that I saw actually was it was from Buccaneers.com actually. Chad Rauter from NFL.com. His pick for the Buccaneers was defensive tackle Caleb Banks. So I just wanted to ask we're talking cornerbacks, which I'm like, okay, I agree, yeah, man. But what will your thoughts be? And look, I think we've discussed. I mean, Kenyon Sadik is a freak of nature, so I mean, I wouldn't be mad about it. I wouldn't be like, whoa, I mean, I think it's great, but I'm still leaning defense. But defensive tackle, just because the justification was, Vita's a free agent next year. So he can fill in those shoes.
Horrible take on there for that draft. No reason to take. I think Caleb Banks is going to be a good player. I do. I
Right.
like. Not even close to what we need right now. I get it. Vea is going to be a free agent next year. Well, guess what? There's probably going to be a good D tackle next year in the draft we could take to replace him.
Yeah.
We've got Kancey who kind of plays that role a little bit with like on the inside of the defensive line. Lee Hunter is probably my favorite D tackle. If he were to fall at 15, maybe. But even then, I don't
Yeah,
want
even then,
to.
no, man. Just, I
There's
mean,
stuff
no,
that's
the
so far down on the list of needs.
Yeah, no, I at that point, I feel like if you're not going linebacker, edge, cornerback, or if you don't have Kenyon Sadik available, then, I guess, but still,
I
no,
would go
I
edge.
don't see it
I don't
all.
know if like I would yeah, you gotta do best available player. And right now, Caleb Banks is overall ranked 38 position. He's the fourth best D tackle. So you're taking like your let's just say fifth or sixth biggest need and reaching for the fourth best player at that position. That would be insane.
Yeah, well, we've seen, and I'll tell you this, Zach, whether it's our team or another NFL team, we're gonna see some real funky things in the NFL draft, and I think that's always something exciting. And I'm excited to also have Carter back, and hopefully Tyler can also join on in the show as well. We can get that draft talk. But last thing was just real quick, wanted to see if you had any thoughts about our NFC South rivals and what they're doing. For example, Tua Tagovailoa, is now signed with the Falcons on a 1 year deal. And then, Orleans just signed Zach Wilson, probably just going to be back up to Tyler Shough. But I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a Saints move. And then Carolina got A.J. Dillon and, you know, stocked up with Jalen Phillips as well. So do you think – I don't know. What are your thoughts on the NFC South rivals, how they've been doing this offseason?
Well, I think everyone got better.
Better than us, huh?
Genuine. I won't say better than us.
Oh, we're not better than us, but they did more this offseason.
I think
yeah.
they all had a better offseason than us.
Yeah.
100%. Who was the linebacker that Carolina got? I'm blanking right now, but Carolina got a linebacker that I wanted. Now I'm blanking on his name. He's like the best draft.
Devin Lloyd.
Yeah, they got Devin Lloyd. Jalen Phillips. Now, granted, they overpaid for Jalen Phillips. There's no argument about
that.
Like,
they're
hoping and praying he can stay healthy. But I genuinely think that everyone got better while we – I don't know that we took a step back. We lost Mike Evans. That's huge. But, like, Lavonte David, I think we're going to put a better product on the field with Alex Anzalone this season. Not career-wise, not taking that away from David. But I think – we kind of stayed on par and everyone else around us got better. I do think we still beat the Saints in the South, but we'll see.
We'll see.
No, man. Yeah. I think they definitely were cooking it up a lot more than us, but yeah, we'll see. Indeed. I think I'm just, you know, excited to see what, you know, how we match up with Carolina more than the other two teams. I think Saints are just, you know, doing Saint things, but there's still plenty of time to go before the start of the regular season, you know, and who knows what they do in the draft. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those teams does something real funky. God knows. But anyways, I'll tell you this, though. Zach, I appreciate you, man. You know, always, you know, shooting it, you know, with some football talk, especially with our Buccaneers. And, you know, I'll tell you this, man, always keeping it real. And I know listeners, you know, they appreciate that as well. They don't like that kind of fluffy mumbo jumbo. You know, they can always just hop on some
you can go watch
little ESPN. AI, ESPN, you know, little platform and just get their little fluff from there. But, hey, listeners, if you appreciate, you know, if you appreciate us, and I'll tell you this, we really appreciate you. You know, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe. I look forward to talking about, you know, Buccaneers football with all of y'all next week. You know, keep on fighting the good fight. And as always, go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.